Everything begins with a question. And the question is this.
Rabbi.
Yes? Who sinned? Was it this guy or his parents? That he was born blind. So the disciples are focused on what? The sin. They're focused on the man's sin or his parents' sin because they believe that the sin allowed or caused him to be what? Blind. And they want to know who sinned? Who did this terrible thing that he's blind? They say, well, why would they ask such a silly question? Because of this. It wasn't silly to them. They were serious. Because they knew that they'd been taught and taught and taught and taught and taught from Exodus 20, verse 5, that I'm a jealous God and I'm going to punish the children for the sins of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. And so in the disciples' little minds, they're like, okay, this is what God said through the prophet Moses. And so someone, this man's blind, he's being punished from birth. Someone sinned. Someone had to sin. Who was it? Well, if you go to Ezekiel 18:20, you know what God says there? He says, I changed my mind. I'm not going to do that stuff anymore. We're done with that. What? Yep, we're all done with that. Not going to do that anymore. Not going to do that. It was fun while it lasted, but we're not going to do that anymore. Or go to Jeremiah 31:31. God says, you know what? I think I'll start a new thing. I'm going to make a new covenant. And I'm going to write the law in men's hearts. And every man will be responsible for every man's own self. So I won't do this anymore. But the disciples didn't know that. They didn't realize. They didn't think their way through all of that. They saw the guy. He's blind. They want to know who did the horrible deed. And you get that little part. Did you think this one through when you read it? Twice you heard he was born blind. Who sinned? This man? Oh, excuse me, wait a minute. He was born this way. How did he sin? There were rabbis who believed, yes, I know, there were rabbis who believed, even in the womb, you could sin. And in the womb and in the midst of all that sin, when you came shooting out, you might pay the price for your sins in the womb. And so they asked a question. Was it him or was it them that he's born blind? And sin has got nothing to do with this. Nothing. Nothing. It demands a really good answer. And Jesus gives one. And he says to them, well, you know, actually, since you ask, neither this guy nor his parents sinned. Well, they really did. Obviously they did, but the sin didn't cause the blindness. That's what he's trying to say. He was born blind so that the works of God might be revealed in him. So what did he just say? Did he say this guy was born blind so that the works of God can be revealed in him? That sounds like God intentionally looked into the woman's womb and said, now let's see, you know, in about 20, 30, 40, 50 some years from now, I'm going to do a really cool thing in this guy's life. Let's see, you know what I can do? You know what I can do? I can make him blind in the womb, and 30 or 40 or 50 years from now, when Jesus, my son, comes, he'll spit in the ground, make some mud, slap it on the guy's eyes, go poof, and tell him to go wash in the water, and he'll see. What a great, cool thing to do. So, yes, I'm going to make the guy blind in his mother's womb. That's what it sounds like. He was born blind. Why? Well, so that God might do a mighty work in his life. Did God intentionally cause the blindness? Is that your God? Well, that's not mine. So I vote no. However, did he intentionally allow the blindness? Yeah. Yeah. Why? Great question. When you get up there, ask. Ask. And if you're going to ask why did he let this guy be born blind, then you have to ask, why are there thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of children every single year in just our country alone, born with some type of abnormality? And why are there so many children in so many children's hospitals because they've been born unable to function on their own? Why? Why? You could have stopped it. Why? Well, the same reason he didn't stop that 50-car accident on the interstate on Friday. Someone's driving along, there's a little bit of rain, or there's a lot of rain, all of a sudden, whoever made the first move, that was not a good move, he did something, cars start running into each other, and you got 50 cars all piled up, blocking the interstate for hours and hours and hours. Why didn't God, who knows everything, yes, and is all places and all powerful, we got that, when he knew that first driver was going to go like this in the rain and cause this accident, why didn't he just reach down, touch the wheel, go whoop, 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 this way, this way, this way, this way, and stop the accident? He could have. Why didn't he? Ask. When you get up there, you ask. Are these two the same? Absolutely not. Is cause and allow the same? No, 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 no. Mm-mm. If God caused the blindness, that's a statement of intentionality. If God allowed the blindness, that's just a statement of allowance. He knew it. Today, whatever. Here we go. Guy comes out. Can't see a thing. Can't see a thing. When I read this, I think, what's up with this? And Romans 8:28. Remember what Romans 8:28 says? Romans 8:28. Remember Romans? Paul sitting at the computer. Romans 8:28. God works for the good of those who love him and are called by his name and for his purpose. So, did God heal the blind guy because of Romans 8:28? And he said, well, no, you can't do that because Romans 8:28 is not here yet. Won't work. Well, that's just a statement of the theology. This guy's parents, what kind of folks were they? They were worshipers. Because if you read the whole story, you know that when the Jews come and ask them, oh, hey, what's going on with this boy of yours? What did they say? They said, he's our boy. We know that. But we're not saying another word. You ask him. He's of age. He'll talk for himself. We're out of here. See ya. Why? Because they were afraid of being thrown out of the temple. They were worshiping people. And don't you think that when he was a little kid, they took him and took him to the temple with them? Sure. And don't you think that it's possible that he was growing in adolescence and even now that they took him to the temple? Well, it's possible. We don't know that. It's possossible. So could Romans 8:28 really be true for this man? It's possible. It's possible. It's true for you. It could be true for him. So did God do this? No. Did he allow it? Yes. Why? We don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus fixed it. He fixed it. He fixed it. This guy didn't sin. His mama and his daddy didn't sin. It was all about the works of God. So when we go back to the works of God then, we go back to verse 4 where it says, as long as this day we must do the works of him who sent me, me and the disciples, now it's you and me, must do the works of God who sent who? Jesus. And if you're walking along with him that day, what's the first question you're going to ask? What are the works? What do we got to do? We got to go to church every Sunday? We got to sing in the choir? We got to go feed the poor? We have to go work in the thrift store? What do we have to do? What do we have to do? What are the works of God? For heaven's sakes, you tell us the works of God, and we'll go do them. But you see, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The works of God are those works of God revealing the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God in his Son, Jesus. And therefore, revealing that God sent the Son. Who else can do the perfect works of God but the one who is sent from God and is God? Jesus. If Jesus were here preaching this morning, it'd be so much better. It'd just be outstanding. It'd be incredible if he were here to preach this morning, because he would be preaching the word of God as God. He's being the work of God through him as God. So the works of God are those works, those actions, those things that take place, revealing the power, the majesty, the grace, the mercy of God in Jesus, and revealing to us that God sent Jesus. That God sent Jesus. You say, well, okay, we got a big deal. Oh, it's bigger than that. You can't stop with that. It's bigger. We have to go back to sin. But not sin and blindness, just sin. In the Gospel of John, the root cause of sin is not bad behavior. The root cause of sin is not gossiping. The root cause of sin is not hurting other people. It's not taking things that don't belong to you. It's not saying things that aren't true. That's bad behavior, and it is sin. But it's not the root cause of sin in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, the cause of sin is not believing the Father sent the Son. The cause of all sin, Gospel of John, is when I believe or stop believing that the Father sent the Son. You say, how? What? Yes. Here's why. I go to Wally World today, and we're checking out, and I got to sign something. So the young lady or the young man whips out a pen. I love pens. And they say, here, sir, you can sign with this. I say, really? I like the looks of that pen. So I click it, and I sign. Kip Younger. And while she's messing around with the rest of the bags, Kip Younger likes the pen so much, he clicks it closed, and he slips it in his shirt pocket. And she says, have a good day. And I say, oh, baby, I will, because I got your pen. And I'm going to go home and write a sermon for God with my stolen pen. So don't you see, let me get this thing back out. Don't you see the deal here is that if I truly believe that Jesus is sent from God, I don't steal the pen. Why? Because when God sent the Son, where did he go? To the cross. Why? For my sins. So I know that I can't take a pen that doesn't belong to me. It's a sin. So in the process of stealing the pen, if my little brain will say to me, oh, wait a minute. Oh, boop, 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 boop. Do you remember God sent a son? Yes. Do you remember why? Yes. What should you do with that pen? Give it back. Just give it back. Why? Because if I truly believe he sent the Son, and if I truly believe he died for my sins, I won't commit the sin. Because the minute I take the pen, and I keep it, and I remember that he sent the Son, and I remember that the Son died for my sins, and I still keep the pen, do you know what I just said in that little moment of time? I don't care that he sent the Son. I don't care that he died for my sins, because I want the pen more than I honor God sending his Son. Ooh. We don't like that. We don't like that. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. That's the cause of all sin, when I don't believe. Well, then how do we know that God really sent the Son? How do we know that? By the works. By the works. By the works. When he works into your life and he answers your prayer and the Spirit of God moves through your life, that's a work of God. And you should think, ooh, I think God just sent the Son. I felt that. Yes. 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 He sent the Son. and that's the foundation of our beliefs. Now, here's what it looks like on a chart. This is really confusing. I'm confused. And if I'm confused, God bless all of you. But here's how it works. Break it down in segments, okay? Here we go. Human circumstances are allowed by God. Yes, why was he born blind? Well, because God let him be born blind. And it has within it the possibility to reveal the works of God. Do the works of God always get revealed in human circumstances? You could debate that all day long. I say yes, I say no. Not always. Not always. Okay. But that's the deal for us today. That leads to works of God reveal the presence and the character of God in Jesus. We're okay with that one. The presence and the character revealed in Jesus reveal that Jesus is sent by God. So far, so good. Yes? Works of God reveal the character of God. The character of God is revealed and the works are revealed in Jesus. That means that Jesus was sent by God to do the works of God. The cross, yes, so far, okay, yes. The work of God, which is die on the cross, give us communion. And that takes us then to believing God sent Jesus. That establishes the foundation of our faith, yes. And it counteracts our sin. So far, so good. And you know where that goes? Straight back up. To that one, where we started. Right, where we started. So don't you see, it's just a cycle. It's a cycle. It just goes round and round and round. Because in my human circumstances, the more that I can grasp the concept that the Father sent the Son to do his work for me through that human circumstance, then I realize it's the work of God, and the work of God reveals the character of Jesus, God in Jesus, and that tells me that God sent Jesus, and that Jesus is here to do the works of God, and when I embrace that as the foundation of my faith, it lifts me closer and closer and nearer to God. And the nearer I get to God, you know what happens? The more I love him, the more I'm called by him. And Romans 8:28, if I had a 50-50 shot before, I'm thinking I got a 75-25, 80-20, 85-15% shot. The closer I get to God, the more I'm going to see the works of God. And the works of God in my human circumstance is going to what? Reveal God to me. And it just goes around and around and around and around and around. So what are the works of today in the reading? Healing. Who gets healed? Blind beggar. He spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, put it on the guy's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam and everything will be just hunky-dory. The mud. The mud is a representation of the essential aspects of all creation. Genesis 2:7, man is created from dust, and to dust you will return. Genesis 2:7, you're created from dust, and God gave his breath into the man. That's Genesis 2:7. Genesis 3:19, from dust you shall return to dust. Ecclesiastes 3:20, you could come from dust, you were taken from dust, and you will what? Return to dust. So, Jesus bends down, picks up a handful of dust, spits, wipes it together. It is the essence of the foundation of creation. And he takes and he smears it on the guy's eyes. That's the anointing. Now, we anoint each other with oil and we do all that kind of stuff. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a true God anointing, who can do a true God anointing? The preacher? No. Jesus. The pool of Siloam, that's Greek for the Hebrew word, whatever that is, Shiloah. It means one who is sent. So you put the whole mess back together, okay? And you got God working in Jesus, who created all things. The mud and all anointments, putting it on the guy's thighs. So here's what you got. Jesus about to do a work of God, spits, makes the clay, the absolute essence of creation of humanity in the world you live in, sticks it on his eyes. And then he says, go wash with the one who was sent. Who was sent? Jesus. He's saying, I have anointed you with the absolute essence of creation. Come to me and bathe in me. Let me wash you clean. The text says, I went, I washed, I could see. Woohoo, I could see. Because it was the power of God at work in Jesus Christ to reveal that God sent the Son. So the healing reveals the work. The work reaffirms God sent the Son. What was the result? Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Everybody knows who Jesus is, right? The guy goes home, and now they all know who Jesus is. He's the one sent by God for the works of God. And everyone embraces Jesus, and they get past that root cause of sin in their lives, because now they understand God sent him, yes, and they all live happily ever after. Oh, praise Jesus. Is that true? You still awake? Verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging ask, isn't this the same guy who used to sit and beg over there? And some claimed that he was, but others said, no. You know, he kind of looks like him. Smells like him. Got those same nasty little shoes on. And that disgusting robe. And he's got the same matty looking nasty hair. And that junk is still in his beard. Yeah, it looks like him. But you know, that ain't him. Because if that was him, he couldn't see. He was blind from birth. He could never see. So that cannot be him. You know what they really said? God cannot do a work in this man's life. He is the pits. He's the scum of the earth. He's a beggar. He's blind. He's always been blind because he sinned, or his mama and his daddy, they sinned a horrible sin. God struck him with blindness. That cannot be him. Period. Period. It can't be. The text says, he insisted, I am the man. Now listen to me. He didn't say, I think I'm the man. He didn't say, I could be the man. He said to them, I am the man. I am the man. I am the man. I am the man. He said, ooh, I am. That I am is kind of strong. Yes. Why? John 8:54, last week, yes, Jesus said, I am what? I am. Exodus, Moses wants to know, who should I say, send to me? God says, tell him, I am. The man says, I am the man. I am the man. I am the man who has experienced the works of God. I am the man who knows that God sent Jesus. I am the man who has a firm foundation of my faith. I'm the man. I'm the man. I'm the man. Yes, I'm the man. Can't you see? I am the man who has experienced the work of God in his life, who can see God in Jesus. Can never see it before. I can see it now. You want to know who else is the man? You want to know who else is the man? You are. You are. You are the man. You are the woman. You are the child, the adolescent, the young adult. You are the man who has experienced the work of God in your lives. Every prayer that's ever been answered. Every time you've ever realized that something happened in your life and you couldn't figure out until a day or 6 months or 6 years later why it happened, you say, oh, that was God. Yes, it was God. It was the work of God through now the Holy Spirit in your life. And you can say, I am the man. I am the man. I am the woman who has experienced a work of God that showed me my God sent Jesus. And him sending Jesus is the foundation of my life. He sat with his disciples and he said to them, this bread is my body. He said, this bread is a work of God. This bread is a work of God. This bread will become my body. No one else could do that. It's a work of God. It's a work of God. It will become the body of Christ. He said to his disciples, take this, all of you, and eat of it. Take it, eat it. This is the bread is my body. Eat, eat, and experience a work of God. When the supper was over, he took the cup. This is the cup of my blood. Take, drink, drink. This is the work of God. Take, drink. As often as you drink of this, do it in remembrance of me, a work of God for you. For you. And so when you come receive Holy Communion of all days on World Communion Sunday, know that you're coming to receive what? A powerful work of God in your lives today. Today. Today you receive a work of God in your lives. Today. Today you would taste the sweetness of a work of God that says to you, God sent the Son, and that says to you, that is the foundation of my faith. And every time I think about this, I will think about this. And I will always put this over this. This is a work of God for you to receive with joy and great expectation.